CliffCentral.com.
What a song. What a song. That's Gareth Cliff with Hello.
What's the song? People like your music choice. They prefer it to mine.
Well, it's all just throwing darts, hey, Gareth, isn't it? That was Mac Miller with Anderson Park. And dang. That's what Sia was saying all weekend.
Actually, that's pretty accurate.
All right, listen, we've got things to do, people to see, places to go. It's a Monday morning on cliffcentral.com. I hope you're off to a good start for today. Let's find out how the world that we live in is operating. Is everything okay, Mubs? Are we safe to leave our houses this morning?
Well, Gareth, it's raining in Johannesburg. I don't know about where you are. It's probably not safe to leave because, as you know, a lot of drivers turn into complete fucking idiots when it rains. I don't know why this happens to us, but we all turn into morons.
I think it's because deep down we're still apes that are terrified of weather. I really do. And you can see people lose their minds when, you know, I've got a nephew who's 3 years old. He gets very upset when there's thunder and lightning.
He gets scared.
He's a kid. Yeah, he gets scared. Mm. But I don't think we ever outgrow the fact that we're just
fundamentally.
We're just fundamentally these very, very frightened apes. And when the weather goes crazy and awry and we can't explain it to ourselves and we're not sure that we have any power to control it, we reveal how primitive and primal and silly we actually are.
Yeah.
I think that's where it comes from. So any vehicle or mechanism or device that we're in control of in bad weather, we then transfer our own stupidity through to that device. So that's why people in cars don't know what the hell to do the minute it rains.
But speaking of bad weather, how's the drought and water restrictions there, seeing as you are in Cape Town? When you check into a hotel, do they give you a bucket and then you got to return the bucket with water in from your shower?
No, luckily not, but you can tell people are taking it very seriously. Certainly the businesses that that we've been talking to, the people who are, you know, kind of trying to keep things together here are very serious about this water crisis. And it is a crisis. The Western Cape is as dry as a bone at the moment. There was a little bit of rain last night, and there was a little bit of rain on Friday, but nobody else is really. I mean, nobody's talking about it in the streets, but I think that aside from a little bit of rain over this weekend, it's been really, really dry, and people are very aware of it. So it's something that's on their minds. Hmm. Yeah.
Well then, so Mubs, yeah.
I think something you wanted to say about this?
No, I just think it's the last time we should talk about the weather for now, because Mubs have got some burning issues.
Yeah. Well, I always think that if the first thing you do when you meet someone is you start talking about the weather, you probably don't really need to have a conversation with them. You probably shouldn't talk to them anymore.
But guys, what if the weather is particularly strange in that moment?
Exactly. I mean, we are all fundamentally
Listen, everybody calm down. There was an actual ice age once. Do you know what that is?
16.
It doesn't pertain to me. It was way before my time.
Come on.
Just a little bit before your time, Sia. Just a little bit.
Yeah. About 12,000 years ago, there was an ice sheet
in
the Northern Hemisphere, all right? And this ice sheet made it uninhabitable for humans to go beyond a certain kind of latitude. And the weirdest thing about humans is that obviously we have a very short attention span and we have a very short memory. But honestly, modern weather, even if you talk about things like climate change, and, you know, some people don't believe that climate change is a real thing.
I should ask Al Gore.
Yeah, even when you talk about stuff like that, it's nothing compared to the kinds of things that our ancestors had to make it through. Ice ages, volcanoes, and before that, our species' ancestors, I'm talking about small mammals, that made it through the dinosaurs' times, where there was what they say was an entire blackout because of a massive meteor strike. So weather is not going to it's not the biggest thing in the world right now to worry about a little temperature up or down or a small amount of rain or drought. Come on.
Yeah, but if you're in a hurricane area and you have no house,
yeah,
you can talk about the weather if you want, but that's not us. Anyway, Mavs, over to you.
Oh, okay. All right. So
yeah, it's really good.
Do you remember we had one of the producers from Planet Earth 2 in the studio not too long ago?
Yes.
Cannot remember his name for the life of me. Sorry about that. But would you like to know some interesting facts, some behind-the-scenes facts about Planet Earth 2, at least the making of Planet Earth 2?
Nothing scandalous, right?
No. Okay. Nothing scandalous. Just interesting did-you-know things. So if you had to take a guess, because Planet Earth 2 is, what, 6 episodes, Ben?
6 episodes.
So if you had to take a guess, how many countries do you think it was filmed in?
I'm going to guess and say 17.
Okay.
I'm going to say like 30.
All right. Gareth. Really,
yes. I'll really go way off and go like 64.
Well, Gareth would be the closest because it was filmed in 40 countries. And it took over 2,089 days by camera crew to film. 2,089 days. I mean, I don't know how many years that is because I don't know numbers. I don't know how to count. This is our problem on the show. Ben is the only one who knows how to count. 2,089 days. I don't know how many years.
If you didn't hear the interview that we did with Dr. Freddy DeVos, then go and have a listen to that. It was on the 18th of January, and really, he was fascinating. He was the director and producer of the Cities episode of Planet Earth 2, and fascinating guy to talk to. Just an incredible idea of how the world works, and particularly of the symbiosis between humans and animals in urban environments. Really, really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Urban was just one of the episodes, Gareth. All 6 episodes include islands, mountains, jungles, deserts, grassland, and then urban, as you mentioned. Now, in terms of terabytes, 400 terabytes was recorded.
Wow.
So, 400 terabytes, that's the amount of footage that was recorded.
A terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes.
Yes.
Jeez.
Imagine how much it's like.
1,000 times 400, basically.
Yeah, that's impressive. Wow. By the way, has our sound improved?
Yes, it definitely has a bit.
Okay, yeah, I'm just fiddling with some of the... You know, we try to improve these outside broadcasts every time we do them. And this morning, we've just got a couple of settings that I've just adapted and changed here. So we learn on the trot. I apologize if we sounded like we were in the toilet earlier.
But well, and also on improving sound, we did find some cool effects last
night. Oh, listen to this, Ben. Do you want to hear the devil?
Yeah.
Yes, always, always.
That's right, my body, spread my name.
Oh, wow. Also in Cape Town. I knew he lived there.
That's delightful.
Oh, my God. That's a little bit creepy.
Okay, that was just Sia, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. But
just, no effects.
That was Sia's normal voice.
Yeah.
So we're speaking about terabytes and all of that, which is, you know, very modern stuff, very high-tech stuff. But did you know that in order to write his script, David Attenborough, who is also the narrator on Planet Earth, he would watch the footage on VHS, even in 2017, guys.
Bloody hipster.
He would watch the footage on VHS, and then he would rewind and fast-forward multiple times in order to get the right words. But isn't it interesting that he, like, why didn't he watch it on DVD, for example? We're in a modern era.
I guess
he doesn't know how to use a DVD player. He's got a VHS machine that he's been using.
But people who work with him know how to operate a DVD machine. I mean, I don't know why he watched it on VHS. That's what
he did. It's just a process. The guy gets into those zones, right? Because when you, and Dr. Freddy made this clear, he gets into this kind of, this position where he feels what's going on. He's got a massive understanding about what's going on. That's why the narration is so good and keeps you so captivated, because he's not telling you what you see. He's telling you what this is about. So if his process is VHS, rewinding, fast-forwarding, and having that little grainy stuff and the squiggles, then that's probably what just gets muscle memory going, and he becomes one with the scene.
I think that, no, it sounds wacky, but Ben's right. I think he's spot on about this.
Also, this guy is one of the top three greatest human beings of Earth. Okay.
Oh, top three. Yeah. Who are these?
That's quite a statement.
Not important for now. That's not important for now. Yeah.
Quite a
statement. So, if this guy wants to do this while on the toilet, go ahead. Just give him free rein.
Does anybody want to take a guess at how many people were injured on set?
Oh, this is a good one.
For the filming of Planet Earth 2.
Okay, definitely. All right, definitely remember the guy who got closest to the lions.
Remember the whole 2089 days thing that I told you?
Yeah.
40 countries.
Yeah. Okay, sure, but then we need to know the extent of injuries. I'm going to go with 13 people got injured to the point they couldn't work for a day or two.
Okay. Gareth?
10.
Sia?
Maybe it was something like only like two. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Well,
how many?
Only one. Only one person was injured on set. It was a cameraman who was stung by a stingray. Only one individual was actually injured.
What a careless plonker. Just imagine the one guy afterwards. Oh. Yeah, a stingray got me.
Listen,
So no one got malaria, no one got ridden over by a car in mud.
According to these facts that I'm reading, only one person was actually injured on set. Yo, I just still remember that episode with, what are those lizards, Gareth, that you and I...
Please,
Komodo dragon.
The Komodo dragons, oh my gosh.
And the little tongue and the scaly
that
legs.
Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Those things are the most evil things that ever existed.
You do not want to be injured on that day when filming the Komodo dragons.
But when you think about this, though,
you would probably die. Actually, you would die.
I died from seeing one. Yeah. I don't want to be near things like that. You know, I've got a phobia for lizards. It's not on.
Because if you think about what Mopes is saying here, okay, so all these countries, all these different people, all these different species and things they've done, one person got injured, that's probably the most amazing stat of this whole thing.
Actually, yes.
And screw you, stingrays, for clearing a perfect record.
Yeah, I would have thought, like, people were getting injured every other day, actually. That's what I would have guessed.
They almost need a behind-the-scenes documentary just on this one guy and asking what happened with the stingray.
And then you remember the famous iguana versus snakes trailer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that little bit has been viewed over 8 million times on YouTube.
Wow.
But people, we are fascinated by nature because we're part of it, but we try to convince ourselves that we're not. And when we see other animals and the things that they get up to, It draws our attention because we suddenly realize how close we are to the rest of nature, but how we've convinced ourselves that, you know, things like shampoo and conditioner matter more on a daily basis than kind of instinct and predation and the ability to source and find food. It puts everything in very stark and obvious contrast.
It does. Which,
why are you giggling, Ben? Do you think that's funny?
I don't, Gareth, no. Full disclosure, Daniela sent me a picture of Meowsers, and I just looked at that, and I laughed at it.
Oh my God. You know what? I can't with you.
You were making a good point.
I cannot deal with you.
3 hours a day is all I ask, Ben. 3 hours bloody day for you to just pay attention.
Gareth, I listen to all of it. I've got 6 screens in front of me here. I'm holding the desk down. I can permit myself to...
giggling like a retarded child when I'm talking about things that aren't funny. All right, listen to this. This is important.
Okay.
Bill Maher has, he's got a great show called Real Time. And in it, he often talks about stuff. You know, I love Bill Maher. I think he's funny. I think he's interesting. I think he's clever. He and I might not always agree politically. In fact, we do probably about 90% of the time. But he had some startling words. I thought this was pretty impressive. And Douglas sent me an email to remind me of it because I often listen to the podcast. But listen to this. This is Bill Maher talking about people being offended the whole time. It's something that comes up with us on our show all the time, right?
Yeah.
So listen to what he has to say.
And finally, new rule, while the sting of defeat is still fresh and the horrors resulting from that defeat pile up, liberals must examine all the reasons why we keep losing elections, starting with Democrats have gone from the party that protects people to the party that protects feelings, from ask not what your country can do for you to you owe me an apology. Republicans apologize for nothing. Democrats for everything. Can't we find a balance? You know, in 2016, conservatives won the White House, both houses of Congress, and almost two-thirds of governorships and state legislatures. Whereas liberals, on the other hand, caught Steve Martin calling Carrie Fisher beautiful in a tweet and made him take it down.
You know how true that is? Mm-hmm. People just, they just love, on the that side of politics, they just love getting offended and upset. And he goes into exactly what Steve Martin said about Carrie Fisher, because I'd kind of forgotten the story. But listen to this. It's unbelievable that this was even a controversy.
I'm not making that up. That really happened. Here's Steve's offensive tweet. When I was a young man, Carrie Fisher was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen. She turned out to be witty and bright as well. How could you, Steve? We thought we knew you, but this? You noted her appearance first, and then that she was witty and bright. You're a monster. Liberals do this all the time. They get offended for people who themselves would not be offended. You know that whole controversy about the name Washington Redskins? They did a survey. 9 out of 10 actual Indians don't give a shit. Why would we? Their ancestors learned firsthand that New England Patriots cheat. But that doesn't stop celebrities from groveling when they get caught playing dress-up on Halloween. Here's Hillary Duff last year. And then, of course, her tweet, I'm so sorry to people I offended. It was not properly thought through, and I am truly from the bottom of my heart sorry. Chris Hemsworth was even more beside himself with self-loathing after he attended a Lone Ranger-themed party dressed as an Indian. He wrote, I was stupidly unaware of the offense. I sincerely and unreservedly apologize to all First Nations people for this thoughtless action. I hope that in highlighting my own ignorance, I can help in some small way. Oh, for fuck's sake, you're Thor. Grow a pair. You didn't offend Indians any more than you offend gays when you wear a cape and hammer, guys.
You okay. See, I mean, this is just terrific because he's saying what a lot of us are thinking. It's just got out of control, right? This politically correct nonsense.
It was a Lone Ranger themed party. You can only be a cowboy, Indian, or a horse. Just like if you live in Wyoming. Last year, Justin Timberlake tweeted that an African-American, Jesse Williams, inspired him and again had to apologize for the sin of giving someone a compliment. I apologize to anyone that felt that was out of turn. I have nothing but love for all of you and all of us. Oh, good, good, because life knows no sin greater than the one he was accused of doing, which was cultural appropriation. Cultural appropriation. That's the idea that white people shouldn't adopt things from other ethnic groups. How dare you mix and match cultures to produce something new? Where do you think you are? Some kind of melting pot?
Yeah.
You know, the majority of Americans are actually with the Democrats on the issues. Raising minimum wage, sensible gun laws, path to citizenship, abortion rights, pro-environment, you name it. But we keep losing. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. But the one we can immediately fix is that too often Democrats remind people of a man who has taken his balls out and put them in his wife's purse. And please, someone tweet me right now and tell me how that was somehow inappropriate so I can tell you to go fuck yourself.
Beautiful, right?
He says it.
Doesn't this guy get high like every day of his life?
Oh, he's high on the show right now.
I love it. Love, yeah, love.
Bill Maher is like, he and Snoop Dogg are the two biggest proponents inside the United States for the legalization of weed. Bill Maher is very serious about this, though. He's been campaigning for the war on drugs to end for the longest time. And finally, in this election, which was held in November of last year, one of the big things that happened, aside from Donald Trump being elected, which everyone was focused on, was the fact that many states have now made it legal for people to recreationally, not just medicinally, but recreationally use cannabis.
Well, did you also know that now having weed infused skin products is a new biggest thing?
No, see, this is nonsense. What are you talking about?
No, it's only right because hemp oil and hemp everything is amazing for you, for everything.
See, there's this brand called Lord Jones, and it has all of these like weird weed infusions in it. And now celebrities are even getting onto the bandwagon with using it. And actually, people are actually saying like, really works well, does good for your skin, etc., etc. So Justin Bieber has used it. Olivia Wilde has used it. The products are infused with CBD, which is this non-psychoactive cannabinoid found in marijuana and can do absolute wonders when it comes to reducing aches and pains. Wow. Like, there are actually people who are saying, like, you know, for your feet, this is amazing. So.
Well, I've seen videos online and I've spoken to people who've experienced this. There are lots and lots of people who suffer from Parkinson's, from mm-hmm. cancer, from a bunch of other things. And weed genuinely helps these people. I don't know how we would be opposed to people like that receiving a little bit of relief from a natural product. It seems crazy to me that there's this demonization of what is effectively a plant when other plants are allowed to live in our gardens without any concern.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think it would be quite funny? Like, Donald's getting obviously all the heat from just being Donald, right? So Muslim ban, all kinds of stuff. What if you were to really mess with people and, like, out of nowhere just make, like, certain things legal and certain things just really kind of, like, take for instance this whole marijuana trade, everything legalized, everything completely, and he turns into a thriving business. Can you imagine how messed up people would be? Like, oh, I hate this guy, but no, leagues weed, everything's legal.
They'd all be mellowed out.
But I think at some stage Donald, because he'll just be so tired of all this stuff, he might even want to just play with us even more and just start like passing bills that make no sense but completely on the other side.
Well, we know he doesn't really – he pretends to because he's, you know, essentially running the Republican Party as well as he is the White House. But he pretends to give lip service to things like, you know, to social issues, abortion.
Religion as well.
Rights, religion. But we know he doesn't really care about that stuff.
See, now, damn it, I wish I was Hillary's campaign manager. Just when I could see that things aren't looking good. Hillary, legalize weed. Mm. Just go out there, promise the legalization.
Someone like Bill Maher would have fallen in with you long ago if you just said, and Snoop Dogg, can you imagine? Would be out there campaigning. Yeah, we sure are going to vote Trump.
For shizzle that. For Hilly. Yeah.
I wonder if Snoop Dogg even has a dealer. Like, does he go out and buy his weed? I'm pretty sure he grows it in a greenhouse specially built on his property.
America's dealer, Mubs.
I don't imagine Snoop Dogg has an actual dealer at this stage.
He grows his own.
Or
for
his
sure.
dealer's now like a multimillionaire as well. That's probably highly likely. But what I don't understand though, Snoop Dogg also has a line of products for smoking weed. So it's like, I think the paper, it comes with the paper, or it's all decorative and printed. So how can you actually like have a line of products that support the smoking of weed if weed isn't legalized?
Well, now it is in so many states, so that's not an issue in a few of them. The ones that it is still illegal in, that doesn't stop people from smoking it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But the business is legal.
Listen, I know so many people in Johannesburg who smoke weed regularly, and I don't do it. I don't particularly like the smell. But these people are doing it, and nobody's – what, you really think the cops are going to be closing down on people like this? It's outrageous that people should ever go to jail for weed, ever. It's crazy. These are like the least dangerous people in the world.
The only danger they are is just like finishing your food.
Yeah, they're only going to get munchies and pass out on your sofa. The most offensive thing they're going to do. Give me 10 weed smokers over one coke addict, because the coke addict is likely to start believing that they're Jesus and doing outrageous things every weekend. I think the weed smokers are the people we should be least worried about. Madness.
And then since we are talking about weed-infused cosmetic products, let's also move on to, wow, this is ridiculous, wine-infused lipsticks. Because ladies, after you're having a rough day and you just want to slap
some on. What kind of a Google search history do you have there on your computer?
Oh, you should see what I have. But I'm now actually really envious of this. So if you do want to do some mindless Googling, Google Libiette, Libiette, a Korean company who's
now wine-infused. Why? Why?
Joy, have a good week.
Wow, that's, well, I mean, why? What do you mean, why, Mubs?
That is such, like, that is such a waste of time. So you're going to, like, what is, like, if you're not having a whole bottle of wine, you're wasting time. So why would you want to have wine-infused lipstick? I don't get it.
Baba, no, you're actually, like, getting...
Why are you wasting your time listening to a whole bottle?
You're wasting time. You are wasting time. Why bother?
Well, supposedly, you know that wine has all of these natural ingredients and these extracts. So it's particularly red wine that promises to basically deliver like this anti-aging benefit for your lips. So that's it. But I just think it's more like to get a little bit of buzz while you're still in the office.
How much wine did you have this weekend, Mabali?
Listen, I had too much. I'm actually in a little bit of pain this morning. In a little bit of pain, because last night I went a little bit, you know, I went overboard for a Sunday. So,
what was it? Were you at home with one bottle of wine and an episode of Carte Blanche?
No, I was at a kid's party, and
place to
behave. I know, but you know,
everyone gets drunk at kids' parties nowadays.
That's what I was going to say. You know what happens at kids' parties is that the adults completely lose their minds.
Well, I had a pretty good weekend too. I went out on Saturday night and I went to Shimmy for their, you know, they always have these big parties on a Sunday last night. Mm. So yeah, I've definitely pulled the ring out of this weekend. And I loved it. And I don't even feel slightly guilty or hungover this morning. I'm actually 100%.
I'm just glad, like, Mabali didn't turn into one of those embarrassing adults, like jumping on the kiddies, jumping castle.
No.
You don't know that? She probably did.
No, I didn't.
Promise?
I did not. I did not embarrass myself or anybody else that I know.
Debatable, but okay, let's move on.
Okay. quick question to you guys as a woman. What do men look for in a woman? This is the question. This is based on a study, just so you know.
Well, let's start with Sia.
Fred, the shoulder to cry on. And that's where it stops.
It just really just looks. Everything else is really further down the line.
Oh. Okay, so just looks for Gareth, Ben.
Purely. Everything else comes much later.
Okay.
Well, when you say look for in a woman, that is obviously her partnership basis, right?
Well, it's let's say it's for a long-term basis. So it's the mate that you pick, that you choose.
Yeah, the first and foremost obviously looks. It has to be, because that's how any of us identify with anything we seek in life.
All right, first and foremost. But then what is the ultimate deciding factor for you as a heterosexual man?
Sense of humor. That's my big one.
Gareth?
Looks.
More looks.
Okay.
I really don't think about this a lot. I just, it's looks.
All right. So, men actually value intelligence in a woman. Oh.
So your sense of humor means you're intelligent.
Believe it or not, they actually do. Men value intelligence in women far above looks, Gareth. The large breasts, the long legs, ass.
No, that's a lie.
This is according to a Cambridge evolutionary biologist, Ben. I don't know. Are you bold enough to call a Cambridge evolutionary biologist a liar?
Yes, I am. And I will do it right now.
Yeah.
This is smell.
Listen here, biologist. Just hang on a second.
All right, okay.
Now, I firmly do believe it, because if it wasn't for looks, you wouldn't know if the person's intelligent or not. It's as simple as that. So this study is flawed because it says post looks what do men look for in a woman, because everyone is lying if they're not acknowledging the fact that looks are the most important.
No, I completely get and agree with you when you say looks are the first thing. But this biologist is talking about the ultimate deciding factor when finalizing who your mate is going to be.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, listen.
When making that final call, basically.
I'm in no way in any position the right guy to ask about long-term or meaningful relationships. So I'm going to absolve myself from this one completely.
All right.
You know, I don't know the first thing about that.
So although having a large bust and never-ending pins are deemed by Western culture as the epitome of femininity, when choosing a mother for their children, men look for brains first, apparently.
Huh. Is that so?
Is that what we're going with?
Is that so, huh?
Well, that's according to one Cambridge evolutionary biologist. I bring these people to you. Last week it was Professor Crabtree. I bring these people to you, okay? This is Professor David Bainbridge, all right, of the University of Cambridge. And he says that intelligence is by far the most attractive quality for men looking for a long-term partner. So we're not talking about your one-night stand. Obviously, there, your one-night stand, it's all about how good she looked in her dress that night, obviously.
Yeah. Right. And that's the only arena in which I have any credibility, so I'm going to shut up right now.
Okay, Ben.
How do I know about intelligence?
Ben is the most successful in terms of relationships of all of us.
Yeah, but I mean, it's in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king, you know?
I'll take what I can get in this show as far as compliments are concerned. Yeah, for long term, totally. But I think if you, going back to my point, if you've got a sense of humor, it means you're intelligent. I've never met a dumb, funny person before. As in, like, you don't, like, intelligence is something that is put across a variety of formats. But if you can get subtlety, you can get timing and just general humor, it means you're kind of smart and you're applying your intellect in the right places. Like, if you have someone who's just like a quantum physicist or whatever, they're intelligent, right?
Yeah.
They could be boring as all hell.
Yeah, True. I think Ben might be onto something here, and not only because he's the only one among us who can speak credibly on long-term relationships, but in this case, humor is a signifier of a bunch of other stuff. And being able to laugh at things and to see irony in things, because irony is something that is a major hallmark of intelligence too, being able to not take everything literally. It's a very subtle thing, but if you can get sarcasm and irony, you're probably way smarter than most of the other people. People who are very literal, usually very stupid.
Yeah. And the whole thing about being book smart is that you spend all day processing things people tell you. That's cool. Yeah. But what does that actually mean in real life? Nothing.
Yeah.
No, well, like, it's also because that intelligence is what lasts the longest. You know, looks fade or like weight can fluctuate, but intelligence is what will always remain. So I guess it has some sort of substance there. Listen to me telling a professor, guess you're good.
We're as qualified as these professors, I tell you. We do this every day. Speculating wildly. Yeah. That's what we do. We're brilliant at it.
That's our thing. That's what we do.
Professor Crabtree and this time Professor Bainbridge. Yes. Great.
Bainbridge from Cambridge.
Right. I like it. Okay. Well, thank you, Mubs. That's always useful to know. And now we have a better understanding of what kind of real, solid men with some depth look for in a relationship. Not vacant idiots like me who are only interested in looks.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because you don't have long-term intentions with people, Gareth.
Hell no. I want to live forever, no, but I want everyone else to be a fleeting passing moment. I don't need it. I don't want. Who wants it? Are you kidding?
Mere chapters in the book of you.
Nobody gives a shit.
Exactly.
That's it. That's just the sad fundamental.
All right. How are we doing for time? We're still okay. We can squeeze in some more. By the way, Zapiro's coming on a little bit later on.
Hey. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, Zapiro, who is South Africa's preeminent cartoonist, he had a very, very busy year last year, and a rough year in many ways. He was called all kinds of names. Had to put up.
Yeah, Gareth, because he's very offensive.
Yeah, well, he draws cartoons of people. God forbid you should do that. As a cartoonist, you shouldn't be ironic, and you shouldn't be slightly insulting some of the time. It's insanity. I mean, imagine what kind of cartoons we'd have if they were all just pleasant. Oh, wait, that's called Disney.
Don't talk about Walt Disney. He was an immigrant, and he created Disney.
You've been reading too many celebrity Twitter accounts over the weekend.
If Walt Disney did not exist.
All right, listen to this. This is quite interesting. This is a dude who's talking about the differences between men and women. And it's something that often comes up. You know, we talk about this all the time on the show. And he's talking about how we use our phones differently. Listen to this. There's a guy called Tim Hawkins. He's a comedian. All right?
Men and women text differently. Like when men text something, it's just a couple of words. Da-da-da, send. That's all I had to say. I have nothing left right now. I'm tapped out right now. When I get another thought, I will send that out to you. But right now, just a couple of crickets playing racquetball up there. Yeah. But women, when women text, what are you doing? Oh, you look like a squirrel holding a nut. You're like, yay, yay, I'm going to tell her that too. Yeah, I got a carriage return on your phone. This is my text to her right here. Hello, my darling. How you doing today? Send. And that's when the floodgates open. Now I'm going to read you her response. Good, I'm just so tired. Went to chiropractor. I'm super tired through shoulders and mid-back, so he loosened that up. He said, it sounds like my brain isn't shutting off for some reason. I asked him if it would be from playing electronic games before bed. He said, probably so. He said, try that. Have a sip of wine before bed. If I don't sleep good next week, come back and try acupuncture. Smiley face. I'm feeling very draggy, but still with Jack and Stacey, so it could be in the air. Have Jackson played Xbox before bed, so he could have the same issues.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, I don't know. Mubs, you're a little bit of an exception to the rule here, but I know when I get a text that's longer than a sentence, I could tell you straight away that that's probably from a girl.
I send messages in paragraphs, so
then you totally fit the stereotype.
Yes, I do.
I don't know that I've ever sent any kind of message, an SMS, a WhatsApp, a Twitter, and anything that's longer than maybe max three sentences. Max,
just straight to the point.
Okay, Gareth, yeah, like, Gareth, we get it. You're alone. You have to keep, you know, qualifying it.
Shut up, Ben. Cool. See you at 2 p.m. That's an effective exchange of information.
Yes.
We don't need to share each other's life story at this point, and certainly not on a message.
Okay, but so wait a minute. So let's say, for example, you need to ask Ben a question.
Oh.
What? Okay. How would you do that?
Okay, well, Ben, firstly, he doesn't ever ask me questions.
No, let's assume that Gareth needs something from you, and he's WhatsApping you. What would you say, Gareth?
Ben, where is the key to the studio?
Yes.
So you don't start with, hi, babe, how are you? Oh,
I bloody hope he doesn't ever call me babe.
Ben, a problem. And then I'm competing with Daniela, which I will definitely lose.
Yeah, no, you'll lose. That is okay, literally so how I start all the messages to all my girls. Hi, babe. How are you?
Okay, but
and what is their reply? They give you a long-winded, like,
yes.
Oh, it's
no, they, day. They genuinely week. Tell me how they're doing because I asked.
And if they've had a bad day, there's a long explanation.
Oh,
right?
Yes, absolutely. But then that just means that we need to get together for wine so that, you know, she can tell me more. It's like gossip.
Yeah, but I just think, like, when it comes to messaging, every guy just assumes the other person is fine, okay? Let's just skip through that one. We're good. What's the matter here?
Because what are they doing with their phone? You know, like, if you're really, really in a bad place, the last thing you're doing is answering WhatsApps.
I cannot start a message with any of my girls without, like, being nice, just saying hello.
When I explained what I would say to Ben in an SMS, did I say Ben? Because I wouldn't even do that. I'd go, yeah, where's the key to the studio?
Yeah, where's the key?
I wouldn't even say Ben. I wouldn't even acknowledge that he was human. I would be looking for an exchange of information. I would be, where is the key?
It's key question mark.
But you guys are friends. Why don't you like?
Yeah, but as well, like that's been acknowledged. Our friendship, our history, that's all been acknowledged. It's fine.
Now the mere fact that I'm talking to you. Yeah.
Sia is he's one of those people, one of those rare people in the world who has managed to utilize and actualize his masculine and feminine energy. So I give Sia all the credit in the world for this. He's able to interpret feelings. Like, Sia can have a conversation with Mabali and make it as meaningful as having a conversation.
But I do walk away and roll my eyes afterwards. Yes. I don't know what it was. I really do think for so long, I really was able to connect with, like, okay, let's have an emotional conversation. Right now, I really couldn't care.
Yeah, well, you still, when in your Oprah moments, you're still good at caring. So here's the point. So Sia sends me this message this morning at 5:23.
Uh-huh.
Morning. Ready to leave because he's standing in the lobby of the hotel waiting for me to arrive so we can leave at the same time. So I go almost 10 minstrels. I mean, minutes. Not minstrels. So he replies, we are in Cape Town after all, so minstrels are okay.
Yes. But that's it. It's like straight to the point. No, yeah. Morning, Gareth. How did you sleep? It really doesn't mean we don't care, but it just means we're getting straight to the point.
If you asked me, how did I sleep last night? I'd tell you to please get on with something important.
You see, so according to a new survey, women are more likely to send longer messages and type out, I love you, while texting than men. And psychologists think this is an attempt to deepen relationships. So 1,000 adults in the US and 1,000 in the UK were included in the survey. And they were asked questions about their smartphone habits. And the report revealed that while men are more likely to text a larger number of contacts, 17 on average, women are more likely to habitually text the same 13 people, very specific. And those women are about 41% more likely to send longer texts and about 54% more likely to write, I love you. So the psychologist basically concluded that the researcher notes that men tend to be more practical sending short messages compared to women who may text less people but use text messages to deepen their relationships. I can't.
Well, do you remember the days before we had text messages? When we would actually speak to each other. Does anyone remember those days?
Yeah, those were awkward days where we knew each other way better than we should.
Those were very difficult times for us humans. And if you recall, it used to work like this. A man would phone either another man or a woman, and there would be arrangements made. Mm. You'd be saying, for example, I'll meet you at 7:30. Thanks. Cool. Bye. Not so with women.
With women,
it became about you must share as much information as you can.
Yes, you must.
And this comes again from our roots, because men would be out on the hunt and they would want each other to shut up so that you could catch the animal.
Oh.
It didn't help for us to talk too much. Plus, you could use a hand signal to say it's over there, rather than actually having to vocalize it.
That makes sense.
Whereas the women sitting in the cave, it became really important for them to figure out what was going on socially. They needed to know if Ugg's wife, Ung, was sleeping with another man besides Ugg, because then Ung would be a slut, and it was good for the whole tribe to know that Ung, the slut, was to be avoided, because she would be a bad addition to the gene pool.
That's
so these kinds of things mattered, and women needed to know all of this so that they could figure out the power structures and the hierarchy, make sure that they could get the right man, make sure that they could provide for the right family, that they knew the most about the environment. This is all a survival instinct. It's a survival capacity for us. Whereas men, we're like, we don't need to talk to each other. When we're out on the hunt, hand signals will be fine, and as long as we bring home the bacon, everybody's happy.
And just basic understanding of what's going on.
You know, now I'm actually scrolling through my different conversations.
That's what I'm doing, Sia. That's what I'm doing right now.
So between my guy friends and between the women in my life. And just starting off my most recent one with my sister. She's already saying, morning, you ready for your birthday weekend? My birthday's on Friday. I'm pretty certain I can't be that ready. Then she goes,
she's just excited for you, okay?
Then she says, hello, my favorite brother. I'm like.
Well, that's so sweet.
No, there are 40,000 things. And plus, I'm her only brother. Of course, I'm her favorite.
Is it your Cape Town sister or your Joburg sister?
My Durban sister.
Oh, okay.
I literally have a sister.
There's a lot of sanguinis.
In each city, yes.
That's so sweet, though. And it is Sia's birthday. He's, as we said earlier, he's turning 8 on Friday.
Oh, big age. Big important age, Sia.
I like it
big
now.
One. Yeah. Big deal.
By the way, another thing about men and women on the phone, and particularly around messages, why is it that when I don't reply to something, women overreact. So if I haven't replied yet, that doesn't mean – let me just read – I don't know why I'm doing this, but like if I don't immediately respond that I must be angry or upset or ignoring them for a reason, meanwhile I just haven't had a chance to respond. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Absolutely. But if,
like, you
assume
everything.
Like, oh, there are two ticks that – so clearly he's angry with me. Or he's blocked me, or he's ignored. No, not really. I haven't had a chance to reply yet.
No, the biggest culprit is you ignoring me. How dare you? Why are you ignoring me, Gareth?
If I text a friend of mine and he doesn't reply, I assume he's busy. But if I don't reply to a girl immediately, it must be because I'm angry with her or there's something wrong.
No, you're with someone else. Just be honest. We know you, Gareth. You know your type. You don't know fleeting romances. See, it's guys like you which make girls think like this. You've admitted it this whole conversation.
Gareth.
I pledge to be a better man tomorrow and will forever let you down.
The biggest problem with us women is we want to be the center of your universe and we will have no other way. I must be the center of your universe, and that is it.
Well, I do love this. And by the way, that's one of the things that makes, you know, men and women interesting to each other is that we're so different. And I love observing this just from the point of view of like evolutionary biology, figuring out why we do the things that we do, why we have the conversations that we have. What kinds of stuff people care about.
Can I actually just name and shame myself here? Because I had to stop myself a while ago. It was actually a few weeks ago. I texted you, and your WhatsApp particularly doesn't show when you've read it. So I had that moment. I was like, oh my goodness, you didn't read my message. And then I had to go like, okay, wait, actually, you need to calm yourself down. But everyone psycho overanalyzes everything now.
I specifically like that you can't see whether I've read a message.
Like
I love it.
Is that why you've got it? Because you're the only person I know that has this.
I don't even know how I set it up on my phone.
Please, you know exactly how you set it up.
What? You can set that up? How?
Well, ask the only guy who's got it set up.
Okay, so
world.
Just let's explain to everybody what this is. If I get a message from you, you can't tell if I've read it.
Mm-hmm.
Normally on WhatsApp, you can see the two blue ticks and you know that person has received it and they've read it.
Yes.
Right?
Hey, so morning. I, on the part of the sender, will be able to see if it's one tick, of course, it's not delivered, but then two ticks, it's delivered, but it doesn't go to blue.
In other words, you will never see blue ticks from me.
No, I'm sending you a message now. I want to see how this works.
You see what this means? You see, Mabalo, with the gasp, you can already tell that you do get into that funk of, oh my goodness.
No, I've just WhatsApped Gareth and I see two gray ticks.
I'm reading it now. She says testing.
But they're no blue ticks.
Exactly.
You bastard.
This is the calibre person we're dealing with here. I've been telling you.
You bastard. Oh my God. So you've read it, but I don't see blue ticks.
I read it. It's on my phone. I'm looking at it right now, but you can't tell that I've read it.
No, I cannot.
But, wait, can you tell if someone has blue ticked you?
I don't know. Let me see.
Okay, so you text me.
Yeah, I can. I can tell if you've blue ticked me.
Oh, you see, come on. I don't
know.
So like
I get the best of both worlds. Like, I can see what you're up to, but you can't see what I'm up to.
What setting is that? I need that in my life now.
Isn't it great?
We need to figure this out.
Ben was talking to me the other day. He doesn't know how to set it up on his phone.
Well, and you know what? Like a creep, I'm not going to find out either. I'm just going to be okay with the fact that people will message me conventionally.
And you see what the 21st century has done to us? Now Ugin are go looking at us and they're rolling in their graves.
Ugin Un.
Yeah, that Ugin Un.
By the way, that Un is a total slut.
Yeah.
She's all up.
Hey.
And Ugg is the slowest of all the hunters. He never brings home any meat.
Shame.
They totally deserve each other.
Imagine,
Ugg and Ugg.
That's how you were judged back in the day.
Oh,
like,
hell yes.
How much meat you could bring.
No, well,
how
they
many
would,
animals you could kill.
If you were a guy in prehistoric man's time, you know, ancient Cro-Magnon man, if you were a guy and you weren't a very good hunter, not only would you not bring home any food for your family, but the other guys would probably sacrifice you to the animals. They'd probably like, you know what? Ugh, we don't have a lot of time on this hunt. Why don't you go into the saber-toothed tiger's cave first?
I would have been ugh. You see what happened to the sole survival of the fittest situation.
Right.
Wow. I think we should try that out, actually, to see who would survive the most.
Out of us?
Start a fire with rock.
Well, that's why I did Cub Scouts as a little kid, so I can do all that. I can tie the knots. I can start a fire. And...
Yeah, no, I was black, so I don't know. I couldn't do that.
Start a fire with what, though?
I can do it.
Can you do it with flint? Wait,
if you give sure, if you give me flint, that's easy because that sparks. But Ben, can you rub sticks together and make a fire?
Ben was raised by wolves. He can do anything.
Yeah, with the right equipment, sure.
That's his predisposition. He can.
Ben can do anything. He's basically Bear Grylls.
Ben actually grew up next door to Ugin Un.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys want an update of that model who was giving blowjobs to everyone who voted no in Italy?
Oh,
of course. That's...
She's on a tour, right? She's on a tour.
Yeah, so she's got through her first 400, right?
Yeah.
She got through her first 400 blowjobs this past weekend.
This weekend?
Well, no, she started at the beginning of Jan, okay? So basically she's been going the whole month. So 10,000 people, you got to email her to apply and prove that you voted no, right? So eventually she narrowed it down to about 10,000 voters who apply and are worthy of this blowjob reward.
Mm-hmm.
So she got through the first 400, and she said it's been tough going. She's quite stressed. She often has to take breaks, you know, to clean her face or just drink a bit.
Lock jaw must be a real problem.
Yeah, she says she's had to add 11 more dates because she just can't get through them at the rate she thought she could. She basically says that sometimes she insists that the guys wear condoms, sometimes it's not. It's dealer's choice, really, in that one.
Okay.
And she says, you know, it's been a bit embarrassing at times. Some guys just can't get erections, and then they start crying, so she has to talk to them for a bit.
Oh, what
but
a
otherwise,
nice.
Yeah, it's
start crying.
Yeah.
That's the least masculine thing I've ever heard in my life.
How do you? Okay.
That's embarrassing beyond belief. These guys. So there's this woman. She's quite attractive. We've seen her picture.
Yeah, she's a professional model.
Right. So you can't get aroused, and then you start crying?
Gareth, well, maybe people just have issues, you know?
Look, she still believes she wants a million blowjobs. She says, like, well, you know, she's
I think this falls under customer service. That's what that is.
Mm.
Yeah,
is she charging at least?
No. She's doing it all for democracy. And I don't know, jaw pain. I mean, who knows? This is a very, because she's an aspiring actress, right? What role is she going to get after this? That doesn't involve blowing the producers.
Yeah.
See, but there are seedy Hollywood executives who will now use this to their benefit.
Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's already cast her in Passion of the Christ 3.
As we marry Magdalene.
All right. Listen, we got to take a break here. We've got Zapiro popping by a little bit later on. And we will take your calls and your thoughts and your ideas. You can tweet us. You can WhatsApp us. You can WeChat us, whatever you prefer. There are 1,000 ways to get hold of us this morning. It's Monday and cliffcentral.com. See you and I. Live from Cape Town, Ben and my buddy in the studio in Johannesburg. And we'd love to hear what you got up to this weekend, especially you have a good story. You know, there might be some people who've had a really exciting weekend. You might want to tell us about that. Make us a little bit jelly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
More from Gareth, who's not in the toilets. He's in Cape Town. Stop with the messages. This is Harrison Crump.
Is that what people are still saying?
Yeah. People get upset, Gareth. Anyway. Shapiro and more Gareth and more Sia. Oh, you're in the right place for Monday.
CliffCentral.com